This is KJZZ's Here and Now. In Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein. The killing of Arizona Republic reporter Don Bowles 40 years ago has endured, in large part because of the shocking nature of a bomb going off in the middle of the day in downtown Phoenix, and because a journalist simply doing his job was targeted. But there's a lot of background we're missing if the focus is solely on what happened to Bowles, which can't really be considered an isolated incident. In his book, The Politics of Murder, Organized Crime in Barry Goldwater's Arizona, former Republic City editor Dave Wagner writes about some of that background, and he joins me now. It was in June. It was the 40th anniversary just a few months ago of the murder of Don Bowles. Middle of the day, the bomb went off in his car. What made you, 40 years after that incident, want to look in more deeply at it? Wasn't just about Bowles. It was a lot of other background that led to what happened to Bowles.
Yeah, I wanted to find out, of course, what everybody else who looks at this crime wants to find out: who did it and why was it never solved? Those are the two big questions. But the reason I wanted to do it was because I discovered in asking a few initial questions of people who were in the prosecutor circles and legal circles and the juridical class, you might say, I got answers that were basically off-putting. They didn't want to talk about it, really. So I decided that I would try to find archival material. So I discovered that the organization that came here to finish Don Bowles' job after he was killed, that the thousands and thousands of documents in Missouri that were gathered by these reporters had really never been looked at in any systematic way. And they had only been consulted, you know, in shards or in, you know, just here and there. So I decided to be systematic about it, see what I could find, do follow-up interviews, compare it with the record, and just try to approach it historically and tell the whole story. Mm-hmm. And what I found was there was enough material, which with some additional work, a lot of additional work, was able to tell the whole story of what happened.
Did you approach this as a journalist who was ticked off that had happened with Don Bowles, or were you approaching it as someone who was sort of trying to connect these dots together that made all of this stuff? I mean, the subtitle of the book has Barry Goldwater's name in it, which Barry Goldwater was and still remains a pretty important figure in the state.
When I got here in 1987, it was 11 years after Bowles' death, and I wasn't in a position to be personally offended by it, but I was professionally upset because I can tell you that it cast a pall over the art of journalism in this state. That was pretty clear. And most of all, it was the biggest untold story. And I wanted to see if I could find out why it had remained untold. Mm-hmm. Why I was very puzzled at the fact that Barry Goldwater had resisted any attempts to tell the story. That was the first clue that something important was going on. And took me a while to get to find out enough so that I could go back to these same prosecutors and other people and say, okay, no, you can't, don't give me that version because I know it's not true. Then we moved on from there, and I found some prosecutors who were very willing to help.
My thought in reading the book was, wow, I can't believe Phoenix had this going on, that you had people considered to be reputable members of the community who were overlapping with organized crime members. Was that unique to Phoenix? And if not, what aspect of it was unique to Phoenix?
No, it was not unique to Phoenix. The whether in the East or the West, organized crime was part of that, specifically part of that generation. I mean, it's in every generation. It's in every community. It's in every city. What set Phoenix apart was that the story was never told. And the only reason why it could be told was because somebody, some idiot, was stupid enough to kill a reporter. And 40 reporters came in from around the country and wanted to find out. They didn't want to find out who killed Bowles. They said that was not their job. That was a police job. But they wanted to find out why he had been killed. And I think they did find out from their records, but they only had 7 months to collect all the material and synthesize it, and that was not enough time to actually turn it into a finished investigation.
It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix talking with Dave Wagner. His book is called The Politics of Murder, Organized Crime in Barry Goldwater's Arizona. And Dave, how informed or uninformed was the public about all of this? Because one of the things you write about is Edward Lazar's murder, which was later turned into sort of a mixed biography novel by his son that generated some headlines, but I mean, was it seen as just, oh, wow, that was organized crime, that's wild, it's fictional in the average person's life, or did the public start to realize this was going on?
The person who told him the most was Don Bowles. Mm-hmm. He started off with a very long and very interesting series on Ned Warren, who was probably the biggest organized crime figure in Arizona. He bilked people from around the country, and here out of around $1 billion, somebody close to him once estimated. And he was protected by the Phoenix Network, by the political network. And there's a chapter in there that shows systematically how he was protected at every turn, mm-hmm. and by corrupting the county attorney who then who was being blackmailed.
I'm really still trying to connect the dots here and say, why is it that all these prominent figures would say, did they want to be chummy with the guy? What went on there? Why was he able to hold power for so long?
Well, the specific reason why Ned Warren accumulated so much power was that it's an interesting story. He started off trying to become a bigwig in Democratic Party politics. Mm-hmm. And he wasted 3 or 4 years at that because this was exactly the moment when the Democratic Party was entering oblivion. And then he realized that he was going to have to become a Republican. And so he did. And he was wise enough to get into a position where he was able to help out one of the chief Republicans, the guy who was more had more influence over the police and the judges than anybody else in town, and put him in his debt. Mm-hmm. And that's how... why it took so long for Warren to be put away. And it was not the local people who put him away. In every one of these instances, it was the feds had to come in and do it. And the people who put away Ned Warren was the ultimately was the FBI and the Los Angeles Organized Crime Strike Force. They did a very good job. Unfortunately, when they... after they put him away, they let his gang of sociopaths and killers, one of whom was the guy who killed Don Bowles, run wild in the streets. And they didn't bother to go after his gang. And so all of a sudden there was this gang of killers and arsonists and thugs running around and who were under the influence of the Chicago Heights Mafia. Suddenly they were up for grabs, and some very powerful people said, okay, finally, we have a real mob in this town that we can hire. And Adamson was the guy who was up for hire. He did a terrible job, and so there was a lawyer by the name of Neil Roberts who came in to take over, and he became the middleman. And Mr. Roberts was pretty far up the food chain. In fact, he did some covert assignments for Barry Goldwater from time to time.
Yeah, you're right about that connection, that there was this link with Goldwater and to Adamson as well, which I think would stun a lot of people. Just because it's Goldwater, I ask it this way.
Yeah.
When you write a book like this, mm-hmm. you have to be pretty sure that you've got the facts on the table, that you know what you're doing. Do you feel like because of Goldwater's role, was he able to do things that others wouldn't do? Was he also, because a lot of people, Republicans and Democrats, liked Barry Goldwater, wanted him to be successful because of the things he'd brought to the state,
yeah.
were they also less tentative to either believe that he did these things, or at least if he did, they weren't going to touch it?
Barry Goldwater was a complicated guy. He came out of that generation. He was no different from the rest of them in the World War II generation in that they were tough guys and they knew what they were doing. They didn't, you know, if he was part of the buildup of economic growth of the Southwest, mm-hmm. which was a multi-billion dollar operation, and he was the guy in the Senate who was the guy who smoothed the path for energy corporations and the banks and other people to make that possible. That was no small deal. And when you have obstacles come up, sometimes you have to get rid of them in a way that's less than gentle. I don't think Barry Goldwater was himself corrupt, but I think he accepted he was surrounded by a network that definitely was corrupt, and he was aware of that and was generally silent about it.
And you can read more about that story in Dave Wagner's book, The Politics of Murder, Organized Crime in Barry Goldwater's Arizona, and he'll be at Changing Hands Bookstore coming up in October as well. Dave, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Steve.